This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi, do you want to get nasty?
I mean, I guess we have to. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 1071, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Happy Friday, everybody.
We made it.
We got here. We've arrived, and we will finish the week in the same way the week began. Talking about Jerry Falwell Jr.
That's nasty. This is the story, the nasty story that keeps on giving, Colleen. There is so much, and what does it say about the world that the most exciting story of the week is basically the meltdown of a one-time evangelical leader based on his predilection for being in the corner while his wife has some relations with
his
young men.
Predatory predilections.
Okay. And hers, but wait, there's more. Later in the show, we're actually going to talk more about Becky Falwell, her role in this whole hot mess. But there was a story we couldn't avoid sharing with you that showed up on Good Morning America this morning. The actual pool attendant in question, Giancarlo Granda, the one who sort of was at the center of this scandal. I'm going to try real hard not to make bad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually showed up on Good Morning America and spoke with George Stephanopoulos about some of the things, a lot of the things we actually have heard and read. I should say not heard, but that we actually have read over the last week. But here we actually get the chance to hear him in his own words on television. And I thought, I feel like we just kind of owe it to the audience for you to be able to hear this story in a way that we've not been able to share it over the last week, because we really have been fascinated by it for a number of reasons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do we have?
So we have a few clips. And Holly, did you get those emails?
Indeed.
Okay, good. So I have a few clips for you. The first, there are two clips that sort of share with you how Giancarlo first came into contact with Becky Falwell and Jerry Falwell and how that all went down. Because actually, it's a little different. I know, words.
I know.
Tons.
We're just going to fall into some ditches.
We're 12. But the first two clips tell the tale of how Giancarlo first met Becky Falwell, then Jerry Falwell. And it's a little different. It's more, to me, it's more disturbing than at first we were led to believe the relationship began.
We're definitely seeing the constellations come together a little more clearly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So originally we shared with you this notion that Giancarlo was a pool boy. He was at the pool. Becky was like, hey, these girls don't know nothing. Want to come back to my hotel room and I'll show you what a real woman's all about. And then all of a sudden, as they're walking up the stairs, she's like, one more thing. My husband likes to watch. And then turn around and you see Jerry Falwell in a Speedo, like, hey,
which reads like a great scene from a movie.
But this is an even better scene for a movie, less better for reality. So
right.
Let's listen to Giancarlo, the first chunk of his tale about how he first came into contact with Becky, and then we'll stop, talk about it, and hear a little more.
So let's go back to when I first met them. I was 20 years old, working at the Fontainebleau Hotel. Working my way through college, and you know, I'm talking to some guests, and I noticed this woman behind me staring at me, and she was noticeably drunk, and she was just flirting with me, you know, and then we start flirting back and forth, and then towards the end of my work shift, she's like, hey, would you want to go back to my hotel room? And as a single 20-year-old, I'm like, yeah, of course. And then she's like, but my husband wants to watch. And immediately I thought it was a bit strange, and I backed off. He's like, oh, no, but he's not going to do anything. He's just going to sit in the corner. He just wants to watch, and it's his thing. And she mentioned that they were actually at a swingers club the night before, Miami Velvet. But it wasn't their thing. They said it was kind of gross because there's too many people, and they wanted a more intimate session.
So that's the first, you know, part of his explanation of how this all went down. Now, so far, it sounds pretty familiar with what we've already been led to believe. I think
there's some details in there that maybe aren't that are new.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of them, of course, is that they had been to a swingers convention the night before, or not a swingers convention, a swingers club. And they were like, "Ew, that's nasty. We don't want to do that. We want to have our own experience." So I play this because I think it's leading us into a much more fascinating or thoughtful discussion. I know that it just sounds salacious, and it's going to continue to for a little bit. But let's get through it and continue to hear Giancarlo describe how this first meeting went down.
So I had no idea who they were at the time. You know, after my work shift, they called me through a blocked number to schedule where to meet. And we met at another hotel. And I walk into the lobby, and, you know, Becky's sitting there waiting for me, and we were both nervous at the time. And then she offered me whiskey to relax, to calm my nerves. We talked for a bit, I relaxed, and then we went upstairs, and Jerry was laying on the bed. He was laying on the bed, he was drunk, and he was giggling. And again, I'm kind of weirded out at this moment, and I said, "Hey, if at any point you get jealous or you want me to back off, just let me know, and I'll walk out of here." He's like, "No, just go for it."
And so this would then happen on other occasions as well. And what would he be doing?
Right. I mean, I don't want to go too much into the details. I don't want to go too much into the details, but he enjoyed watching.
Okay, so that was essentially the summary of their first meeting. What I found fascinating about this, and tell me what you think, the thing that stuck out for me in this part is how methodical the setup was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the, "Hey, want to come back to my room?" This was not like we're all just, you know, horny and we're on vacation and we're all consenting
adults. And people
adults.
Got a little drunk and then woke up the next morning and were like, "Whoa, what happened last night?"
Exactly.
It's not that kind of scenario.
It sounds like it might start out that way, but very quickly it becomes contacting you from a blocked number, setting up another hotel reservation, which is clear that they were engaging in something that probably was not the first time. And if it had been, they had provided a certain amount of thought to, right?
Well, I mean, honestly, that's exactly what I was going to say was, you don't get the impression from his account of the first time they met that this was the first time they'd ever done that. And there's a couple indicators of that, right? Like, number one, in their first meeting, the fact that she said to him, "My husband will be there. He likes to watch." That tells you that that is an experience that they've had before. That arrangement has occurred. And so, first of all, you know, okay, so they've just now found another, I'll use the word victim. To be a part of this thing that they do.
And it's interesting. I just want to put a pin in this because we're going to revisit this in the third clip. The word that you used as a victim, I think, is very interesting. And I think it's appropriate. Continue.
Yeah. Well, because I do want to say this again. And we said this yesterday. And I'm sure you guys have said this a trillion times. Like, whatever kind of stuff people get up to in their own sex life, that is not what is up for discussion. I am not offended by that in the least or upset by that in the least. However, in this story, there are certain things that we are picking apart that make it different than just some people who have some tastes.
And honestly, to be fair, although it's going to sound not fair, if this were you or I, Colleen, and we were doing this, it's nobody's business.
Right.
There is a context with these individuals that matters. Because of how they live their lives in the public.
Right.
That
Absolutely.
Said, I don't even want to have that conversation.
Nope.
Because what we're doing right now is talking, we're painting a picture of how this all went down. And so far you've heard the person say, like, he just gives a play-by-play of just how methodical this experience was. Blocked number, set up a separate hotel reservation, get him drunk in the lobby, you know, to get him comfortable. The wording sounds very innocent, like, but if you put yourself in that position, there's nothing innocent about being 20 years old with a 50-year-old woman buying you a cocktail in the lobby of the hotel so that you can be fortified enough to have the sexual experience, which clearly is a little awkward, such that you need some plying of alcohol. So, like, just think about all of those things.
Absolutely.
And then to your other point, and this is the last clip of Giancarlo from his interview on GMA, I want you to listen to something he shares and how that might affect this overall experience. And there should be, it's the third clip.
You know, I mentioned to them that when I was younger, right, when I was in high school, I suffered with video game addiction. You know, at the time I was timid, a bit nervous, and I believe, you know, now in hindsight, that they spotted these weaknesses and made me an ideal target. I shared, you know, this passion project of mine where it's a company that would connect video gamers suffering with video game addiction and families with health coaches. And he's like, oh, I think that's an excellent idea. And, you know, actually, you could probably partner up with Liberty. You know, you should come to New York with us. We're having a business trip and we could talk more about it.
So that little bit tells you that he very this is, again, not just a casual sexual encounter.
Mm-mm.
Because after this encounter in the hotel room, they begin a relationship with this young man and continue to groom him along the way with the promise of financial remuneration.
Yeah.
And inevitably involve him in some shady real estate dealings, which is what inevitably led to the fall of, you know, the Falwell family in this particular moment. It was those shady business dealings that he wanted to remove himself from that ended up sort of exposing all this. But, like, when you put all those things together, it's clear to me that this story is about so much more than just, you know, the preacher has a little dark side that he doesn't want to share. By the way, Jerry Falwell is not a preacher.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, it takes it from a conversation about a couple who gets up to some things in the privacy of their own bedroom and puts it in the realm of predatory behavior. Because they were exploiting a weakness of his, among other things.
And, but wait, there's more. At the third hour of the show, we're going to go deep in that predatory shallow because this is not the first person who interacted with Becky and was used in a way that might make you uncomfortable.
Well, and I would just like to add that we're going to talk about the second story a little bit later in the show, but I don't think anybody, I mean, you'd have to be crazy to think that we're not going to have more stories like this.
This is the tip of the nasty iceberg.
It's true. It's true. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're going to talk to our friend Elizabeth Reese. She's bringing us all the dirt straight from Hollywood with a dirt alert on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk dirt alert.
Elizabeth Reese has arrived hauling a wagon of Hollywood dirt.
Wow.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Oh, well, we can't hear Elizabeth.
That's weird. Technology is weird.
Okay, well, maybe she is.
That dirt got real heavy. She had to take a breath.
Brought it to somebody else. I mean, who knows?
It's hard.
You know, I'm not sure what's going on, and quite frankly, I can't solve it right now.
Okay,
so let's do the dirt alert. Let's talk about some dirt. I've got some stuff to serve up for you.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Let's talk about a little gossip that Sherry Shepherd is talking about in the latest issue of People.com. Mm-hmm. So she's doing... let's gear up for that. So
I love by Friday we get real...
Okay. So, all right. So
there she is.
Yes.
Here she is. I had one thing get unplugged, and then the whole thing went haywire, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Well, hang on. Before we get started, let's let Holly.
Tell the Sherry Shepherd
itch.
Yes, I like this story.
Okay, so Sherry Shepherd, we know that she was a co-host on The View from 2007 to 2014.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
And she's talking about her relationship with View executive producer and co-host Barbara Walters. She says, Barbara was so hard on me, I cried for 3 years in my dressing room because she was so hard on me. But Sherry says she did it out of love. Apparently, Barbara Walters told Sherry Shepherd, I love you, I just need you to read a book, dear, and learn to defend what you believe.
Oh.
And to speak up. So Sherry,
I don't know, it's like a tough mom that, but like, kind of scary. I don't know, maybe Sherry needed to hear that.
Yeah, it sounds like she's being somewhat ambivalent about it.
She's kind of, I think she's looking back on it and thinking it was good for her. It was what she needed. It was like a tough coach, sometimes, like what she needed in the game.
You know, sometimes you have those moments where in the moment you think, that was really, that was not good. And then later when you look back, you think, I mean, there are people, and I think we all have people in our lives that have told us hard truths. Maybe inartfully, maybe in ways that were hurtful at the time. And maybe they didn't necessarily even have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
But you did gain something from that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like tough coach thing. But Barbara's old school, man. I mean, she's old school journalist. You want to hear, I bet the stuff that was said to her early in her career, that probably makes Sherry Shepherd's story look like
nothing. Like a hug. Yeah.
I know. Do you want more dirt? I've got some for you.
Yeah, it's dirty.
Lay it on us.
Holly's so good. Holly like can always come up with something because she's a total professional. Scott Disick confirming that Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson are back together. We all know this.
I mean,
it's the worst kept secret.
Yeah.
But here's what he commented on Khloe Kardashian's bikini photo that she posted. The Kardashians are all about the end of summer bikini photos right now. And he tagged Tristan and said, Real Tristan 13, that's his Instagram handle, is a lucky man.
Okay, that's also kind of gross.
I know.
Like, I'm just saying it from this perspective. If my brother-in-law,
I know,
said something like that, I can't even actually finish the sentence because I want to vomit.
It gets weird with that. Yeah, like if your brother-in-law said something about you being super hot, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, it's gross.
But they have weird boundaries.
That's
so
true. Nasty.
I don't know.
I mean, that family.
Prince William and Prince Harry issued a rare joint statement about their plans to honor their mom, Princess Diana. So this is coming just 3 days before the 23rd anniversary of the death of Diana. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the statue that's been waited on for a long time is going to be installed next year on what would have been her 60th birthday, July 1st of 2021. And they issued a statement today saying that the statue will stand in the garden of their mother's former home, Kensington Palace, and help people reflect on her life and her legacy. So that's nice.
Yeah.
It would be lovely to have that statue.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can't wait for season 4 of The Crown.
I should probably get to season 2.
Yeah. Colleen Lindstrom.
I know it's I know it's shocking that I have flaws, but that's one of them is that I haven't gone back and finished that. You know what? That's enough out of you, Trainer.
It's actually not a flaw. It's an opportunity, and you have an opportunity to make some significant changes in your life that will better you as a person.
Thank
and
you, Barbara Walters.
The list maybe is watching The Crown.
Yeah, if the top of the list is The Crown, there's.
Then you're doing okay,
Colleen.
I got
some real estate I'd like to sell you.
Zip it.
So it'll be nice for people to be able to see that. They commissioned the sculptor behind the image of their grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, that decorates all of the British coins since 1998 as the person to create the tribute.
Oh.
So the design stages have been progressing well, but the installation was delayed because of COVID-19. So I actually think it's really nice that it's going to be on what would have been her 60th birthday.
That's sort of like a blessed accident, right? Like that's kind of a beautiful homage.
I know. I think it'll be lovely. Selena Gomez is really, she says she's inspired by Tom Petty as she settles into his former home. It is always fun to think about who lived in your house before you. And if you're a celebrity and you buy celebrity real estate, which you know I obsess with.
Yep.
That she feels really inspired by the property where Stevie Nicks, the Fleetwood Mac, once spent time. Mm. And she said it's that spirit. There's so much history. So when I'm in that zone, I feel like it's very special is what Selena Gomez has to say. It's an almost $5 million home that she bought in Encino, California. It is stunning.
I think I saw a little bit of that. She did like a cooking video or something. I don't know.
She has like, she's got like a little series.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, well, and it's called Selena Plus Chef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On an HBO like, Max show.
I was going to say it's on a streaming service. I almost said Quibi because that's where I feel like it should be, but it, you're right. It is on HBO
Max. No, it actually shows you the entire show. You guys, I got to delete that.
Quibi's now doing drive-in movies, by the way.
What?
Someone's going to buy Quibi.
Yeah, and then it'll have to transform into something else or it won't. Whatever happened to Crackle? Does Crackle still
Crackle
exist?
Crackle is amazing.
Because that's where Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians with Cars Getting Coffee was initially.
It is amazing. If you want throwback, like good old TV, get there ASAP. And really? It's free. It's so great.
But you have to watch ads, I assume.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm over it. I don't even care because if I get to watch Who's the Boss,
boy,
I'm
that's
happy.
Fun. Mm-hmm. That is fun stuff.
Elizabeth Reese, thank you for that.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Apologies for the Friday
Not
ghost.
To worry.
No worries.
We're just glad you showed up. All
have
right.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, we need somebody to play our 30-second pop culture challenge. 651-641-1071. 30 seconds, 5 pop culture questions. Get them all right. You'll win a prize on My Talk 107.1. Can't get enough of it. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And we like to play a little game with you. It's called the 30-second pop culture challenge.
30 second pop culture challenge.
Who's on the phone today, Colleen?
Who's on the phone today, Holly?
We have Mary.
Mary's on the line, and what is Mary playing for?
Mary is playing for one of this.
A MyTalk 107.1 t-shirt. Woo-hoo!
Mary, are you ready to play the 30-second pop culture challenge?
I sure am.
Good. Timer will begin after I ask the first question. Here we go. Who plays the title role in the Harry Potter film franchise?
Daniel Radcliffe.
What character did Matthew Perry play on the TV show Friends?
Chandler.
Who topped the music charts with the song Baby Got Back?
Sort of Mix-a-Lot.
Wisteria Lane is the main setting for what TV primetime soap?
Oh, is that Desperate Housewives?
What baseball team are J-Lo and A-Rod trying to buy?
It's not the Yankees.
Ah! Oh,
Mary, I thought that you were going to get it, Mary, but you didn't. Sadly,
she was so good on everything else.
Oh, she really did a great job.
She was right; it was not the Yankees.
She was in the very right true. State. Anyway, the answer to that question was
the Mets,
the New York Mets. Ah, oh, Mary, I'm so sorry you didn't win today. She was like so calm and cool. I mean, it was amazing. However. She did not win, and so she will have an opportunity to try again on Monday. And now that we've gotten all those questions answered, we can move on to solve some mysteries. And we do that in the form of blind items that Holly's brought for us in this segment. We call it Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item.
Oh, hot celebrity gossip mysteries. Here's our first one. Speaking of a little fakery, this former A-plus list singer turned child molester / porn producer.
Ew!
Paid people to beat him up so he can try and flee the country.
What? There's a lot happening there.
Mm-hmm. What? An A-plus list singer R. Kelly?
Oh,
yeah, because he was just beaten up in jail.
Yeah, that
okay,
makes some
go
sense.
Ahead. Go ahead.
That's right. Okay, so speaking of a little fakery, R. Kelly paid some people to beat him up in jail so that R. Kelly can try and flee the country.
So, like, if somehow they let him out, then he would run away.
Right.
Like, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. He's in solitary now.
That's right. Yeah.
Something tells me he's not fleeing the country anytime soon.
No siree, Bob. Okay, bye bye now.
Bye.
It was a celebrity gossip mystery that must be shared with the world.
I appreciate your...
Thank you.
Just dedication to the craft.
Here's another celebrity gossip mystery. A story from this illiterate comic slash host that she shared about her former coworker who was a permanent A-plus list host will become the norm once the host passes away. Mm-hmm. There will be horror stories by the dozens published.
So we need an illiterate comic host, that Meghan Markle. No, I'm kidding.
With a former coworker who was a permanent A-plus list host.
Yes.
Okay, is this then we're talking about that person dying? Is there going to be like a...
Well, once the person dies, everyone's going to go all Ebenezer Scrooge on this person and start telling tales.
So we need a comic who is illiterate.
That is correct.
And it's a she comic.
Yes.
And it's a host also.
Yes. Well, yes, they were a host. And I think I don't know if they are or not right now. I can't really tell you, but... They both worked together as hosts of a particular program.
Mm. Oh, well, this should be easy.
Yeah. It should be. Oh. Is it? No.
Is Ryan Seacrest the host?
No.
Is it like a View situation?
Come on, guys.
Okay, I know.
Oh, Sherry Shepherd. Barbara Walters.
Yes.
This is totally believable. And I just had this thought yesterday when I saw the headline, read the thing and I'll tell the thing.
So a story from Sherry Shepherd that she shared about Barbara Walters will become the norm once Barbara Walters passes away. And there will be scary stories by the dozens published about Barbara Walters.
I had that feeling, not so much that there would be like a waterfall of bad stories, but I did think like Barbara Walters comes from an era wherein the reality is hidden on the inside, meaning like your public facing self and your private self are two distinct things in a way that we don't really allow much for anymore. See Ellen. Right. Mm-hmm. So this seems totally plausible to me. And also because she kind of got that, you kind of got that vibe about her. Oh, I'm trying to remember the last time we were thinking about Barbara Walters, where she was kind of nasty on the on the inside.
The person who I always think about, honestly, who got such a raw deal.
Oh,
for a lot of reasons, is Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yep.
And I feel like every time. I feel like she is not heard a lot. I don't necessarily always agree with her, but I think very often her voice was shouted down, as I think happened a lot with the youngest voice on the show when Barbara Walters was regularly at the helm.
Yeah. Well, I also think Barbara Walters moves through the world in a way that doesn't have to account for other people's feelings in the way that everyone is supposed to account for hers, right? Because she was allowed to be a star and a celebrity. And those aren't her main characteristics because she had a career. But I'm saying she was elevated to such a level that we used to elevate people and allow them to basically not act like normal, respectable human beings to each other because they had this sort of... you know, high status. They were on a pedestal.
I think, go ahead, Holly.
Oh, I was just going to add, the last time I think that we talked about Barbara Walters on this show was when Ross Matthews had a story about Barbara Walters from his memoir saying that he was bullied by her.
It's interesting, too, because, and I'm not saying this to excuse her, but I also think that there's another piece of, you know, Barbara Walters came to her position in a time where, and it still is in many ways a very male dominated field. It doesn't feel that way as much because we see more women in that field, but she came to her place in a time when it was very, very male dominated. And I think that hardens a person too, in a way,
So it's a combination of those two things, Bradley, that, you know, where you were talking about how she sort of had elevated, she was on a pedestal in a way, but also combined with that, she had had to really fight in ways that she was giving other women opportunities and they didn't probably, she probably maybe resented a little bit that they didn't have to fight to get where they were.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm projecting, but, you know, it's what I do.
What we do.
Yeah.
Next.
All right.
Blinded by the item.
Another celebrity gossip mystery. Here we go. This really bad actor turned host turned reality star is cheating on his longtime wife with a stripper. Ooh. Hey, cheating is how he first hooked up with his wife and something he has done at other times during the marriage. So not a big deal.
Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
A really bad actor turned reality star. Now, what kind of reality star? Like a competition reality star or a sort of lifestyle?
Or like a hosty type reality star?
Well, this person is more hosty to me. Maybe he has dabbled in the world of reality TV. I mean, I'm sure he has. Yeah, mm-hmm. he was on a reality show for one season, but he's very hosty.
Oh, Mario Lopez?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw Stripper and yeah, it there screamed you go. Mario Lopez, but go ahead.
So, Mario Lopez is cheating on his longtime wife with a stripper. Hey, cheating is how he first hooked up with this wife and something he has done at other times during the marriage.
Those have been the rumors anyway.
He seems like such a gem, you know? Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was being sarcastic. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, there's a new publicationship on the scene. This one is called Laroni.
Laroni. We're going to do the Laroni.
We're going to get the Cobra Gang together to talk about Laroni after this. We'll tell you who they are and why we're talking about them after this on My Talk 107.1. We're about to unleash a new publicationship on you on the Colleen and Bradley show. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Ooh. Before we do that,
yeah.
Can I tell you about the weather?
I wish you would.
Because it's brought to you by AARP Minnesota. We're going to have partly cloudy skies. It's going to be 80 today, 60 tonight, sunny 76 tomorrow. It's 76 and mostly sunny now.
Oh, it's going to be so nice.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's going to be so nice. All right. Now, first of all, Bradley, what is a publicationship?
It's a relationship for publicity.
And we have a new publicationship to unleash, but first we need to call in the Cobra Gang.
Whenever there's trouble, we're there on the double. We're the Cobra Gang. If you've got the crime, we've got the time. We're the Cobra Gang.
Laroni. Let's all do the Laroni.
I feel like I want a Laroni sandwich.
Right? Or like cheese and macaroni.
What's a Laroni?
That's a Jennifer Lawrence and a cook Maroni. Or cookie. I don't know. Does he go by cookie or
cook? I think
cook?
He goes by cook.
I'm just kidding.
Cookie.
Cookies. J-Law and Caroni, known as Laroni. That's what we're calling them on the Colleen and Bradley show. We need to get the Cobra Gang together to find out, is this a publicationship? And I mean, clearly it's a publicationship, or at least they're using the relationship for publicity, because this is now the second headline I've seen this week with these two boobs walking around with face masks on. Exclusive from, in this case, Page Six, Jennifer Lawrence and Cook Maroni back on the scene in New York City.
Okay, so yeah, you are right. This is the second time in as many days. Go ahead. Keep going, because I just noticed something.
Okay. So
that may be nothing.
Okay. Cook Maroni and Jennifer Lawrence have now been in tabloids twice, as you said, in as many days. And the storyline that they're telling... Now, it's an exclusive in Page Six, which means that somebody from Jennifer Lawrence's team wants you to know and reached out specifically to Page Six because they're walking around town.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you wonder why? So that's what we're trying to figure out. So they say over at the exclusive on Page Six that after several months of lying low, Jennifer Lawrence and Cook Maroni were spotted out in New York for the second time this week. The 30-year-old actress was photographed Wednesday wearing a white spaghetti strap, blah, blah. They're wearing stuff and they're wearing masks. According to a source, they had to wait a little while to be seated at Raoul's. I don't go to fancy restaurants in New York, but it's Rowell's in Soho. And so they stopped at a nearby bodega to grab a bottle of water. And once they were seated, photographers snapped pictures of them dining outdoors, al fresco, I think we call it. And then they give us the details on what she was wearing, yada, yada, yada. So why are we talking about these two in as many weeks?
Well, I have to do some more research just very briefly here. Well, okay. Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Colleen, I am seeing you're seeing.
Are you suggesting perhaps
number five?
Yes.
That there is something going on, perhaps?
That there might be some creation?
Yes.
That the two of them may have created together?
So, preggers.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Now, here's the thing. I do not like to be the person who responds to the bump watch, right? I find it interesting.
Because she could have had a sandwich.
It's true. Like, I mean, we've all had
a couple extra sandwiches in the last 6 months.
There is one. Okay, there's two things. Number one is this. Number one is the photos yesterday, she was carrying a bottle of wine, which doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything, but so, it maybe feels like a choice. Because what I'm saying is, I kind of think that what's happening is they're doing these paparazzi walks trying to get the tongues wagging about bump watch.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, although you'd think then that the exclusive would have been like, winky, 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 winky.
Right.
Because they're reaching out to Page Six to have paparazzi show up, because if you look through the photos, it's clear they know they're being watched and they're doing the thing. So my question is, I mean, yes, it could be that she wants us to start talking about the fact that she's preggers.
Possibly.
But if not that, then what? And I wondered if there were perhaps any blind items that suggested that there was something going on with these two. Like, it's not for nothing. Like, they have existed in time and space for the last 6 months, yet we've only seen them show up now twice in 1 week. And that is not a coincidence.
Right.
Like, there is clearly something else going on. Holly, did we have any blind items that maybe reveal what's going on?
No, we don't. But what I can say is that any time that Jennifer Lawrence has been spotted out and about with her boyfriend, her now husband, there was a blind item alluding to the fact that she really hoped that her wedding to Cook Maroney would jumpstart attention for Jennifer Lawrence's career.
Mm. And so in that vein, I am wondering if maybe there's a similar hope in any buzz around her possibly being pregnant.
Because she could be going the way, you guys, of another kind of publicationship, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. Meaning, Sophie Turner was with child, but she never confirmed it.
But the weird thing is that these two exclusives don't mention anything. And the thing that we saw with Sophie Turner was, that was the whole thing. Like, everybody was saying she was pregnant, and they never talked about it.
I will say, so now I'm looking up the term, is Jennifer Lawrence pregnant, right? Because, I don't know, it sort of looks like that.
Yeah.
And there's only one story that's showing up from Oh No They Didn't.
Oh, that's a great website.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. Now it's not popping up at all. Like, I tried to link to it and it's gone.
Well, that's just a fan gossip website.
Okay. Well, I am here for this conversation and finding it fascinating, to your point, Bradley, that that's not being
pushed.
No pun intended.
Let's go to Twitter. So, Monsters and Critics says, several fans on social media are claiming Jennifer Lawrence is pregnant after seeing a recent photo. However, then I see, y'all, Jennifer Lawrence is not pregnant. This is her 3 days ago. And they show some photos where she's not bumpy.
But, you know, that's the thing about a bump, is it can appear different ways at different times. I don't know. All I'm saying is, more than just a possible bump, I thought I saw a belly button pop, which is kind of a thing.
I just think it's interesting then, if that's the case, that they're not, because the thing with Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas, was that that was being put out there.
Right.
And nobody was saying anything. This nobody's putting this out there, at least from a tabloid perspective.
But maybe that, maybe there's, I don't know. See, now I'm like so deep in the weeds on this. Maybe there's a hope that people will speculate.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
And that that's going to be the thing that gets the attention. I don't know. I don't know. But we'll, you know what? Laroni.
Laroni. It's well, not for nothing.
Because there might be a little Laroni. I'm just saying. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, here's the question. What is the food that you love, even though it causes you pain, but you eat it anyway?
Oh, God.
651. Yeah, I know. 651-641-1071. What is the food that you love that causes you pain, but you eat it anyway? After this on My Talk 107.1.
Have you been waiting for just the right job? Then welcome to the end of your search. Amazon has seasonal warehouse jobs in your area, and now is a great time to apply. You can start getting paid right away and work close to home. Applying is easy. You don't even need an interview. So what are you waiting for? Come join the team and get a great seasonal job offer today. Visit amazon.com/hiring. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.